Welcome to the
Idiots
Explaining
Entertainment
Extravaganza, only on GamingUncensored.com.
It's E4. Hey, what is up? Welcome to Gaming Uncensored's E4. I don't even know what I'm saying. I lost my train of thought there.
Just so you feel better, I totally forgot the name of the show when I closed it yesterday. you're not the only one.
We don't edit, so we're going to leave this all in. But I'm going to try again to get this right, dang it.
Yeah.
Hey, what is up? Welcome to E4 2025. That's right. We are back for episode 2 of E4. We are Gaming Uncensored. I got the name of the show the first time. I just forgot the E4 part of it. I'm Tommy. Jamie's sitting over there. How you doing, man?
We are the Idiots Explaining Entertainment, and it is an extravaganza. And I totally forgot to say that yesterday. Yeah. So you're not the only one.
Yes. I do have a drink in my hand, so I'm going to blame that for right now. But, other than that.
Do you have any idea how embarrassing it is to finish a show and then click on the show to listen to the first 5 minutes and realize that I totally forgot that we changed the name like 8 years ago? Yeah. That's really, really, really bad. So yeah, we suck.
Yeah,
we're sorry. Yeah. But hey, on the upside, this is the second show in 2 days.
That's a big deal. That's a good thing. We don't know how long it's going to keep up, but we're going to try to get through tons of content because we have done tons of content to get through.
Yes.
Which I haven't seen hardly any of it still. I have seen Xbox, and that's what we're going to talk about in this show is Xbox. And then I have heard from my good friend sitting over there that the Future Game Show is pretty awesome. So
yes,
looking forward to that. We got PC Game Show to still pick up. And then there's all of the other stuff.
Nintendo data we have tomorrow, both I think.
Do what?
Nintendo is tomorrow, I think.
I think so. Is Nintendo doing a thing? I mean, that's historically when they do it. I'm going to look it up right now and just see if they're planning on it. Don't see it right now. We'll see. Maybe it'll be there.
Well,
usually Nintendo does it tomorrow, but things are so screwed up at this point. Like E3 isn't a thing anymore. And so like, who cares? Like that. And that is getting to Xbox. Like something I super noticed about the Xbox thing is like, oh, wow, this isn't E3. Like this doesn't feel like E3 at all.
Well, can I say this? Somebody said something weird in the Day of the Devs about see you on the show floor. One of the games devs said, see you on the show floor. And so it makes me wonder if Jeff is not holding a live event somewhere and they've got demos and stuff. And I immediately thought, you know, that's a real thing. You and I need to figure out how to go to that.
Yeah.
Like I would really like to know if there's like a live portion of the show.
Yeah, I'm curious what he's talking about, because there's not, as far as I know. But again, I've been so out of the loop. I could be totally overlooking something. I know Jeff is doing opening night live for Gamescom as well. So maybe that's all what right. It was about. I don't know. Who knows? It's such a mess at this
weird
point. And yet we're still getting, you know, tons and tons and tons of content this week. And so it does feel nice, even though it's not E3. Like, can we take just a moment and like be sad about it not being E3? Because it does. It just lacks the excitement that E3 had. There's a lot of things about this kind of format that are honestly a lot better than E3 ever was. But E3 was something that was special from the time we were kids. And so I still miss that nostalgia of it.
Right. I miss it too. And I was thinking about that earlier today. But I think you agree with what I'm about to say. The part that I miss about it most at this point is because for the first 4 or 5 years of this show, E3 was a thing.
Yeah.
Like it was. And we were in the same room. We were doing this. We have never been to LA. We've never been to the convention center. We've never done that. For us, E3 is you and I sitting in the same room when we get to do it the right way. And we haven't in a couple of years. And I got to tell you, that's what's missing from my experience today.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And like I said, honestly, like the presentation stuff, Jeff does fine with some Summer Game Fest showcase and like with a live audience and all that kind of stuff. They've kind of figured out that blend.
Yes.
Fell in a way that the big publishers, I don't feel like ever quite got, aside from that one Sony year that we talk about all the time. That right. was really great. But aside from that, like having Microsoft's whole thing being kind of pre-canned, honestly, was just fine. Like you get a better look at the games. You don't have any of the awkward moments. We didn't have like weird performances. We don't have like the Just Dance montage from Ubisoft. You know, like just things that were all.
You don't have like Phil being weird.
Yeah, Phil gets to rehearse and gets like, you know, a tight 30, and like he's off, and like it just, there's no like hyping up the crowd or like trying to play off of energy that's not really there. You know, all that kind of stuff just doesn't exist. And so Phil, by the way, this is an aside, but that dude's lost some series. I think that dude's doing some Ozempic or something, but he is looking like pretty slender. Like he is svelte at this point. I was like, what happened, Phil? Looking good.
Well, I don't know if I've had this discussion with you, but Phil and everybody else, including my dad, is taking Ozempic. It's like the cool thing to do right now. Mm-hmm. So I would not be surprised at this point.
Yeah. Me neither. I wouldn't at all. Like I would be surprised if he wasn't, but he's looking good.
He is really.
That's an aside. That doesn't, I don't know why I got to bring that up, but all that to say, we're going to talk Xbox and we'll get to Phil talking about some stuff here in a little bit. But I figure we'll just go run through the show kind of like we do always and pick the things to talk about that seem like worth talking about. The show opened and kind of essentially closed on the Outer Worlds 2. So opened with the Outer Worlds 2, and then they did kind of the deep dive after the show on the Outer Worlds 2. So we got a lot of the Outer Worlds 2, ultimately, if you watch through the whole thing. Which you played more of the first game than I did. I played a chunk of it.
The thing, I don't know if we really ever talked about it, but I beat the first game. I did not beat the DLC, but I beat the core game.
Yeah.
And now it's kind of like, okay, why did I do that? Because it's not a continuation in any way, shape, or form. I think it's going to be fun. I think it's going to be a blast. I love Obsidian. Yes. After watching like 40 minutes of this between the actual show and then the post show, I'm like, crap, Duff is right. We need to play Avowed because these guys don't do crap.
Yeah.
He's been telling us for like 3 months, play Avowed. And we just don't have time or hard drive space. And right now is where I will say, if you would like to support this show, we have a Patreon page, and he's going to get the Patreon guys in a minute. But let me just give a special E4 plug and say, if you would like to help us purchase hard drive space, we'll take it.
Yes.
You can send us hard drives and we'll stick them in our computers. And 100%. We'll be grateful because right now we don't have the hard drive space to load all the crap we need to load.
Yeah. Drive management is a real thing in this house over here right now. Yes. Like anytime I play anything, I'm like, what do I have to move? What do I have to delete? Yeah. For sure. So, like Jamie said, thanks to the Patreon guys, Kevin, Jose, Narc, Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavosh, Chad, Zeke, Chris, Brigham, Sam, Andrew, Luik, Logan, Liz, Jordan, Gio, and Derek. As always, we appreciate your support a ton. Like we said on the last show, go by GamingUncensored.com. Don't judge us too harshly on how ugly it is, but don't go there to sign up for the Patreon because our link's broken. Go to Patreon.com and find Gaming Uncensored over there. You can search for it easy enough.
Yes, and if you want to know where to send us hard drives, GamingUncensored@gmail.com. We will literally let you send us our drive anyway.
We will not say no.
No, we will not. Absolutely not. And let me just say one more thing on the website. We are officially moved totally to the new server. I turned the old server off yesterday, so we are fully on the new server. What this means for the show is that we no longer have to pay for web hosting, which means we have more money for actual cool server-related stuff. So that's awesome.
That is awesome. That's a big deal. And so,
yes.
Swing by GamingUnCensored.com. Keep an eye on it because it's going to look prettier soon. We promise. But good stuff happening over there. It needs to be updated because I haven't done that in a little bit. But we'll get there. In the meantime, one other thing that's really important that you can do at GamingUnCensored.com is click on that Discord link to join the Discord channel, because that's where all the conversation's happening at this point. And so come over there, hang out with us, chat with us about what's going on with E4, Summer Game Fest, all that kind of stuff. It's been fun watching you guys tell us what you're excited about, because a lot of times it's different than what we're excited about. And I love that, that we have a community of people that listen to this show that like games that are different than the games that we like, which God bless you for listening to the show and hearing us talk about Final Fantasy.
I was going to say, I don't know why they listen to the show. Like, it makes no sense because they don't play the games that we play, but for some reason they really like this show, so we're thankful.
Yes, for sure. So back to the Outer Worlds 2, just really quick. Some of the deep dive stuff that they went into, there's tons and we could get into it more. But the one thing I really liked them talking about, which is something we've seen from Obsidian before, this isn't new, but they kind of got into deeper with this game, is the faults system, right? Like you choose like aspects that are beneficial to your character, but there's also all these ones that are faults. And some of them are just really amazing. Like the dumb fault, right? Like your character can just be dumb.
And that was in the original game. The dumb, thing was there.
It was.
I did not use it. They've got some really interesting ones. I'm going to let you talk about those, but I got to tell you, I was the guy that tried to choose the one that had the least harmful negative effect. Right? Like, they've got some that it's like, yeah, you get really serious bonuses, but it's a really serious problem.
Yeah.
And so I'm already debating on, if I had to choose a vault, which one I'm going to choose.
Yeah.
And I think I've already landed on bad knees because
that was one of my two favorites. I have two favorites. Bad knees was one of them.
That pretty much fits my life. I mean,
yeah.
So
the bad knees fault, if you didn't watch through the bonus content on there, is you get like a bonus to sneaking. But every time you stand up from sneaking, your knees pop super loud and alert all the people around you that you're there. It was the funniest thing when they're showing it and the guy just stands up and like, crack. All the guys turn around like, who's there? That one cracked me up. The other one just stuck out to me because it's so me how I play shooters, was the like obsessive reloader one that you reload like every 2 seconds, which is completely me. Like if they ever make a game that like you lose all the ammo you had in your magazine if you reload too soon, I would be screwed because I just hit reload all the time. But it's like you get the perk of like you get like double the magazine capacity or something like that. But if you actually let your magazine run all the way out, then I don't remember what it was. Like you get a health penalty or it takes you longer to reload or something.
Yeah,
that was like that's me because that's what I do in these games. But the one that they showed that was like staring into the sun.
Yeah.
Like you have cataracts and everything's blurry and you get halo effects on all the lights. And I was like, and they were like, it basically makes the game unplayable. I'm like, why is it there if it basically makes the game unplayable? But it's just like, that's such an Obsidian thing to do. So I guess good on them for putting that in there, even if it makes the game basically unplayable.
So here's the thing. I've loved these guys since New Vegas.
Yeah.
New Vegas is the reason that I played the original Outer Worlds. It's the reason I'm going to play the Outer Worlds 2. And I just look at what they do and I'm like, somebody needs to give them more money for more games. And I think that's what's happening because they made a big deal out of mentioning they have three games going this year. They've got a Valve that's already come out. The Outer Worlds 2 is coming soon. And they've got another one that they have not really talked about yet.
Yeah.
So,
Again, like you said, the more Obsidian
Grounded. We can get... Grounded's the third one.
Yes, Grounded was in
here. Yeah.
Which I care a little bit less about, having played the first one of those a little bit. But let's see, moving on. High on Life 2. I was not expecting that one to get a sequel, to be honest with you. I just didn't see it, but I guess it had enough people that were into it that they decided to do another one.
You know what it is? 12-year-old us's would have really loved High on Life.
Yeah.
Right now, I just don't care.
Yeah, it doesn't appeal to me kind of in this. It's not my kind of humor. Like, it's Rick and Morty kind of like, and I've never watched Rick and Morty, and so somebody who's like into Rick and Morty could probably say, oh, you'd actually really enjoy it, and maybe so, but... It just like watching the trailer, I'm like, that's not something that appeals to me, but like, I get that it has its audience. So, there was also Resonance, from A Plague Tale. And so that is something that like aesthetically appeals to me a little bit more. And, the first game was apparently very good. I don't have time for it.
The Plague Tale games, A Plague Tale is one of those series that again, I feel like when you are retired and we don't have anything else to do but this, A Plague Tale is one of those that goes on the list that we have to play. That's where that is.
Yeah.
We know it's good.
Yes.
We just don't have time to play it.
Yeah, we got to prioritize stuff, and it's just unfortunately not a priority at this point. But maybe someday we'll get to it. And then we got to the big hardware announcement, which I think is something that was pretty anticipated. We knew Microsoft was working on this in some capacity. Now, the partnership here is maybe
it's kind of a big deal.
A bit of a surprise, but yeah, it's kind of a big deal. And so this is the handheld Xbox. I'm using quotes here because we'll talk about that more here in just a second. But the handheld Xbox, which is a partnership with Asus. So it's the ROG Xbox Ally X and the ROG Xbox Ally, which you can hear by my inability to say it, doesn't particularly roll off the tongue.
No.
But like, it's the Xbox handheld and the Xbox Ally, which again is a great name in my opinion. But the actual hardware looks pretty good. Like, it looks like it's one, comfortable to hold, and that's a big deal. Like, it, like, just like ergonomically, it looks like it'd be a whole lot more comfortable to play than a Steam Deck is. And I love my Steam Deck. Like, the Steam Deck's great.
Yeah.
It just looks like it'd be more comfortable, like the same way that the PlayStation Portal looks like it'd be more comfortable to hold. We don't know a whole lot about it specs-wise at this point, but they showed some of the games that can run natively on it. And it's going to be, you know, Steam Deck adjacent. Probably you would expect it to be a little bit more powerful than Steam Deck at this point, just given that the Steam Deck's been out for a couple years. But in that category, and that is all the cloud gaming stuff. But the thing they're really selling with this and throughout the whole show was this kind of Play Anywhere thing that everything popped up with, this Xbox Play Anywhere little stinger that I got very tired of.
Yeah, like for Christ, we got it.
Like, told us, we know. Like,
you're a platform. We get it.
But the whole thing is, you know, like, Xbox is a platform, not a piece of hardware. It is a way to access your games via, you know, a PC, your phone, a Xbox console, or now this new Xbox handheld in conjunction with Asus, which is great. Like, I have nothing wrong with it. I don't see a big need for it in my personal future.
No.
But, like, they did show off that it is a Windows-based machine, which means that it also is compatible with Steam and good old games and Epic and everything else. And so wherever your games live, you will have access to them. It's not just stuff that you have on Game
Pass. But see, I have a slight argument there, because you can do all of the same stuff on the Steam Deck.
Mm-hmm.
Like all of that, they made a huge deal that it was a Windows-based machine and easy to use. You can get to all your crap. Like, great. Like, that's something I sort of expect from a handheld like this.
Yeah.
So they made a huge deal out of it. Oh, and all I could hear was Chris Rock in my head going, "You shouldn't get credit for doing what you're supposed to do."
I don't completely disagree, but this is the one place where I'll push back a little bit. To do all of that, specifically to get like Xbox Cloud and that kind of stuff on the Steam Deck, takes some work. Like, yes, it is not as like friendly towards other platforms other than Steam. You can work around it because it's an open platform, and so it's not terribly difficult. But you do have to have some know-how and some savvy to do that. I play Game Pass games on my Steam Deck. But this, what they're really, it feels like marketing it as, is a like much more user-friendly interface that is open because it is a Windows-based system, and so it's not like a console that's really locked down in this kind of closed system infrastructure, but it's still like user-friendly. You're not going to have to go into the OS and install stuff and all of this to make workarounds and get into like, to get like good responsiveness for Xbox Cloud gaming on the Steam Deck took me like 45 minutes, which I don't care personally to do that. Right. Like, it's kind of fun to go in there and dig around a little bit in the system and make that work. But like, there's definitely something to be said for the convenience of just going, oh, it's, you know, it's a Windows-based machine, like install Steam, I have my Steam games, whatever, you know, like that's what they're going to sell this on, is a little bit more user-friendly option to the Steam Deck.
And my argument there is, I'm okay with you selling it that way. Click a button, gets all your stuff. You don't have to install anything. That's great. But it's Windows, right? And so if you're going to say it's Windows underneath, it needs to be set stable.
Yes.
And that's why I feel kind of okay about the hardware partnership, because like, my first three motherboards were Asus motherboards. I love Asus motherboards.
Yep.
I don't know why in the last 10 years I switched to Gigabyte. I did. I really actually probably prefer an Asus motherboard over everything because they just do good hardware.
Yeah.
And so I kind of feel okay with this. But yeah, I think the mistake that Microsoft maybe made is saying, hey, it's a Windows machine and it's open, because if it acts like Windows sometimes does and crashes every 5 minutes,
sure,
then they got a real serious problem.
Yes. Yeah. I have a love-hate relationship with Microsoft on so many levels. And so it does make me a little bit wary of some of those.
Look. We're all smart enough to know it's Microsoft and they're going to use Windows. I think everybody, what else are they going to use? My point is, I don't know that I would have said it out loud as vociferously as they did.
Yeah, I will take the other side of that and just say I do appreciate that they're saying that, because it could be like a closed console kind of approach to it. It could have Windows as its back end, but not as an accessible thing. I still don't know how much of a, like, are you going to get like a true Windows interface that you can get into in a like desktop environment? Like on the Steam Deck, you can just go into desktop view. Do you have a pure desktop environment there?
Right.
I would guess that they will probably have that, in part because Valve has already done that with the Steam Deck. And so you kind of have that expectation, but I don't know that that's going to be the case. But because they're talking about Windows gives you the freedom to do all of these things, is kind of their big push with it, I would assume that it's going to be accessible in that way, and we'll see. If that's true, then I totally get what they're doing. If you can't actually get in and do a lot of that stuff, then I'm with you that like, this is not the way to sell it. You shouldn't be talking about that if you can't truly like get into Windows desktop environment, have really open control over this platform in a like true PC kind of way, as opposed to a closed system console kind of way.
Right.
You can't get into Windows on your Xbox. Like, that's not a thing. And so that would be something that would set this apart. So.
Yep.
All that said, two different SKUs here. The Ally X, which, think of the Series X as the higher end version. It's also the like black or dark gray version, has a Ryzen Z2 AMD Ryzen Z2 Extreme plus 24 gigs of memory and a terabyte of built-in storage, whereas the standard Ally is a Ryzen Z2A not Extreme with 16 gigs of memory and 512 gigabytes of internal storage. So you get more RAM, you get more power with the higher end stuff. We don't have a price point or a release date that I saw, other than I think they said holiday of this year, so right. It is supposed to get out this year, but no like definite release date, and we'll see if they actually hit that. But I didn't see a price in there anywhere. I could have missed it, but I didn't see it.
I did not see one.
Yeah, so curious if it'll be kind of competitive with the Steam Deck. That's what I would expect, which would be kind of competitive with the Switch 2 at this point as well, and so we'll see. Back to the games. That was the only hardware announcement we got. We didn't get any other hardware announcements, so a couple of games we could probably go through pretty quick. The Blood of Dawnwalker, this vampire game, I don't know anything about. I don't know if it's been out in the ether before now.
I don't know either, but it's kind of interesting.
It is kind of interesting.
I kind of like it.
I'm not against vampires. I feel like vampires kind of had their moment, and that's not right now. But like, you bring vampires back.
Right.
But the idea of a daytime vampire always has some appeal to it. What I might be more into is Super Meat Boy 3D. Which is Super Meat Boy, but
Super Meat Boy makes me think of our buddy Rogers, a single guy, because he got on the show way back in the day and talked a lot about Super Meat Boy.
Yeah,
and so I really wanted to call Rog and be like, "Hey, come on the show and talk about this, because yes, we know this is your jam."
Yeah, for sure. Super Meat Boy as a 2D platformer is super fun. Hard platformer, but really fun platformer. And it looks like they're now just bringing that into 3D, which looks pretty great. They even had a little homage to Mario with the pipe coming up out of the ground. I thought it was cool. And so, like, obviously, it takes a lot of inspiration from Mario. We got a little bit of Ninja Gaiden 4.
I don't care.
I don't either, and I want to.
I want to so bad, but I just don't care.
Yeah, once I saw it, and I was like, oh, it's Ninja Gaiden, and I'm like, there's just, I don't have bandwidth for a lot of games kind of in that general realm, and I'm so excited about Onimusha. Yeah. I feel like it's similar enough.
Okay, but you know what it is? I know exactly what it is, because I feel the same way. We know at the end of the day, they're just going to be okay.
Yeah.
There are going to be those games where we put a few hours in and go, hey, that's really cool. And they'll be awesome games to play while we're sitting together having adult beverages.
Yes.
Otherwise, we're not going to really spend a whole lot of time with any of these, probably including Onimusha. We love Onimusha. We're going to pick it up. We're going to play it. But it's not going to, like, for crying out loud, I'm debating right now at the show, do I play Expedition 33 or do I play Death Stranding? I don't know. I can't figure out. These are not on that level.
Yeah. That is a thing. Like, we are at a point where time is so limited that the only thing that gets attention is like game of the year level game,
right?
Like, that's the only thing we really have time to play, which is kind of sad. And I, you know, I get in a few indie games here or there, but like something like Ninja Gaiden or Onimusha, again, like, because we're such fans of the series, I really hope we find some time to put into that. But you're right, that kind of falls into the same category. It's just hard to find that time. I'm looking forward to a point where we have more time
and
to play more of those type of games that are like solidly good games that appeal to our sensibilities, but aren't like necessarily those top five games that come out every year.
And I gotta tell you, every single time I talk to Duff, he says, you guys, before it's over, you're gonna get huge. Somebody's gonna pay you to do this. Somebody's going to pay you to sit there and play games and drink and do what you do. That somebody's going to do it. He says it every time I talk to him. And that's the only way we get around to playing all this stuff. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah, about 100%. Speaking of which, Beast of Reincarnation. It's very pretty. Yeah, it's not a game that I'm ever going to be able to give any time to, unless it like comes out and is like a massive deal. The weird thing about it is that it's being developed by Game Freak, which has developed a bunch of Pokemon games.
Yeah,
it's not a Pokemon title by any means, but very pretty. Two things I'll mention really quick. This game just made me think of this because this game is multi-platform. So many of the games that we saw at the Xbox showcase are coming out on PlayStation 5 and some of them on Switch as well. But many of these games, and like, that's not always a shock because a lot of them are third-party games, but even some of the first-party games, this is where Microsoft is at this point, which I'm not knocking by any means.
I'm not either because they're very clear. It's not about their brand anymore. Like, we are 1 year away, maybe a year and a half away from having PlayStation 5 games on Game Pass.
Yeah. I mean, we already have, right? Like, MLB The Show has been on Game Pass. It's a Sony published game that has appeared on Game Pass, you know? Like, and the other way, like, when we have access to Game Pass on a PlayStation will be, like, the moment that's like, oh, okay. Like, truly, Microsoft is about Play Anywhere. Xbox is truly Play Anywhere when you can play it on your PlayStation.
We're not
there yet, but we're getting close.
We're speaking of, you know, I was talking about the fact that we're not paying for hosting anymore. One of the things that I'm going to do as soon as I know that we're not paying for hosting anymore is that I'm going to upgrade my Game Pass and start messing around with xCloud, because as I said, our hard drive space is insanely limited.
I find so much value in Game Pass Cloud in trying stuff out that I don't want to download. Right. Even though, like, we have good internet, it's not a big deal to download stuff that way.
It takes 5 minutes for either one of us to download whatever.
But making the hard drive space for it takes a lot more time. Yes. That's the pain at this point. And so, like, that's the catch. And so if I can try it out, that's what Avowed. I played Avowed for half an hour on cloud before I downloaded it, and I haven't put hardly any time into it since I put maybe an hour or two into Avowed, which I would love to, as we talked about before, play that more, but it's one of those games that just doesn't quite fit into the schedule. But all that to say, like, cloud gaming gave me an opportunity to try that and go, oh yeah, this is kind of cool and interesting. I should download this. I also was this close and still kind of considering it, though I think I'm going to pass, of playing Expedition 33 while we were doing the show, because I'm kind of jonesing for it because I've had a whole lot of time to play it the last couple of days. And I can play it on Xbox Cloud right here on this computer that I'm looking at you on, and I don't think it's going to mess with anything.
This close. I feel you, okay? Because seriously, I'm literally looking at my watch going, how late am I going to stay up to play Expedition 33 after the show? I feel you.
Yes.
The
struggle is real, so to speak. So we will keep moving so we can both get a chance to maybe put in a little bit of time to Expedition 33 tonight. Indiana Jones is getting DLC, which I still need to finish Indiana Jones.
We have to mention this. I'm excited about this because I'm almost certain that we both have the capacity to finish Indiana Jones. Yes. We have one act left. I know we can do that. We're going to have to make ourselves do it, but we can do that.
Yes.
So I'm sort of excited about this DLC.
Yeah, I am too. And again, because we talked about it a lot, I really do like this game, as many complaints as
we have
about it. And so, like, the trailer they showed for the DLC looks really cool. It's like very Indiana Jones vibey, this like idea of getting more in depth with the giants and all this stuff. Like, I dig it and I want to see it. And like, I'm a sucker for Indiana Jones. And so, even though like the game isn't the perfect game, and we've, like I said, had our complaints about it, like, I still want to play more of it, and I still want to get back into it. And so this gives me a reason to finish and go through it. All right. Now for the one that I think for both of us was kind of the show stealer. Clockwork Revolution. This game is freaking cool. I really dig it.
It's Bioshock. It's steampunk. It's irreverent.
It's dishonored. Like, it has a lot of dishonor to it.
Yes. This thing, I'm watching it. And I'm going, I don't know if I'm going to be able to play this.
Yeah.
But gosh, I'm going to try. Because it just, it looks so cool.
Yeah. It does look very cool. So it's got a very steampunk aesthetic, like you mentioned. The kind of whole clockwork thing is just kind of like a thing that I really like. I think that that's super cool. It also has this time manipulation thing, kind of time travel-ish thing that looks pretty cool.
Which I saw another one of those games today that's sort of like that in the future game show. You'll have to look out for it. Because you play the game in four different time periods at the same time, and you shift between these different realities, and I really dig that. That's a great concept for a game.
I do too, and combine that with kind of the steampunk thing, and again that like BioShock / Dishonored kind of aesthetic to it.
Yes,
it's got to have a lot of humor to it, which I really like. You know, and just there's a whole lot about it that I think feels very, very cool. And so I think of any game out of any that I'm trying to think of what else we've seen at this point, I don't know that anything has me quite as excited as Clockwork Revolution does.
I'm gonna quote,
it really looks cool.
I'm gonna quote the cabbage, and I'm not gonna ruin it because we're not there yet, but he goes, man, that's the definition of parody to end the show the way they ended the show. Right. and I especially agree with that. When you have a game like this, holy cow, how do you not end the show with this?
Yeah, it's fair. It's also, I believe it's third party, so it's In Exile that is the developer.
I mean, that's the definition of we are the platform. I mean,
right. You want to show something that is theoretically your IP, but we didn't get why they ended the way they ended it. We'll get to it in a little bit, but I don't care. Like, I literally checked out. I couldn't tell you anything about the game they ended with. We'll get there in just a second. Before then, Grounded 2. We talked about this a little bit on the first show when we talked about the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids aesthetic. It's fine. I played the first one a little bit.
We're not going to play it.
We're not going to play it.
It looks really cool.
Obsidian,
really,
and we love
cool.
Obsidian, like we just talked about. But,
like, seriously, if there was one studio that could call us and be like, hey guys, we got this new thing, will you try it? Like, 98% of the time, we'd be like, yeah, we'll take it because they do good stuff. This is the one that I'm like, maybe.
Yeah,
you know, I'm just not there.
Yeah, with you there. Next up, we had Chronos: The New Dawn. Kind of weird horror survival thing. I don't know. And then another one that I know you're excited about because you texted me about. I'm really excited about it too. It looks super interesting and cool. There Are No Ghosts in the Grand, which is a great name for a game. First of all, just like way to break the stereotype of what game names are and do something weird. But also looks like a really interesting premise. You have like inherited this hotel and you have to fix it up, but it's also haunted. And so like there's this like mystery figuring out what's haunted and lots of supernatural.
And nobody wants
to
you to like dig into the fact that it's haunted.
Right.
Like, yeah. I mean,
it looks like a cool sex. Somebody I saw said it's like Power Wash Simulator meets like Silent Hill or something like
right.
that.
Like,
okay, like there you go. I could kind of vibe with that. And so like this idea that you're fixing up this hotel with these tools, like these magical tools, but it does have a Power Wash Simulator vibe to it, which again, I've talked about a lot, how much I love that game in like ridiculous way. There's a cat, which is always beneficial when you have a cool cat character. There's a weird like paintbrush that is your little guide. And I don't still quite get the premise of this game entirely, but I'm really into it. And it feels like one of those ones that will fill a gap, right? Like,
when you are like,
I need to decompress from this game before getting to that game, like, this is a good game to stick in between there.
Now, what it is you will totally understand it after you have a little alcohol.
Yes.
That's what that is. That is, yeah, about one and a half of those, and right, you'll totally get it.
Yes, yes, I just took a drink of my Sazerac. Very, very good cocktail. This is one of my favorites.
Really? Okay.
I made this before the show. I really enjoy these. And so, that said, Don't Nod has a new game that I have no idea how to pronounce. I think they said, I don't remember what it is. Apellion
is what I heard, yes.
Okay, Apellion. I'm terrible with pronunciation of anything names and such. So, but it is Don't Nod, and we know kind of what to expect from Don't Nod, but this is a very different kind of Don't Nod experience in that, like, I didn't see any dialogue, like other characters, no. Really. Like, it was this very isolated kind of thing. It's you're like a stranded astronaut on a planet and trying to figure out where another astronaut is at or something like that. I'm not entirely sure, but it had a very like Mirror's Edge kind of look to me, and the kind of parkour navigating the environment kind of thing with this beautiful kind of alien environment. And then it hinted at the end of maybe some like horror alien kind of elements to it. And so I'm really interested to see where this game goes. Again, we are big fans of Don't Nod as a developer.
Yes.
And so that kind of got me just seeing the logo. Like, I'm kind of all in at that point. There's another one that we'll talk about here in a little bit that, like, you get me just by the logo. But then you show me the premise and I go, oh, yeah, I'm actually really kind of interested in this. This really does look interesting.
There are companies out there, and we've talked about it before, that we're going to be in for whatever they do until they disappoint us. And Don't Nod is one of those that, like, they just put out good stuff.
Yes.
Right? Yep. Like, that's where they are.
Yep. 100%. I'm with you. And I hope this is good. Maybe it sucks. They're kind of due for one that sucks. But hopefully it's good. So, Mudang Two Hearts. This one's interesting to me. Again, I don't foresee us ever having a chance to play it. But it's they describe it as a stealth action game. And watching the trailer, it does have a little bit of like a Metal Gear / Splinter Cell kind of feel to it.
Right.
But it's a unified Korea, like a near future, like North and South Korea have united, and you play as both a like North Korean soldier who has now been kind of in taken in by the South Korean army, and like this K-pop singer. I don't know, like, it's weird. It's very pretty. It looks very good. And if it gets really solid reviews, I could see it being like a kind of sleeper surprise. It also could be something we never hear about again, and I wouldn't be surprised by that as well.
I agree, but I will say an idea like this, and Clockwork is another great example, and Don't Nod doing what they're doing. These are all different ideas that are kind of weird.
Yeah.
There's a lot of weirdness going on this year. I watched the 3 hours of the Future Game Show. There's a lot of weird crap in the Future Game Show. Weird crap. But it's all interesting.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate at least being willing to take the risk
and
do some weird stuff.
Let me say, since you said that, because I hadn't like thought this through at that point until now. That's something that's really appealing about this particular showcase, and was a little bit about the Summer Game Fest showcase, but not nearly as much. This wasn't a lot of existing IPs. There are a few in here, obviously,
right.
But there's a lot of new, different stuff that could very, very possibly, again, just disappear off our radar altogether, fail completely. But man, I love the idea that they're doing new stuff. A game that we have to play that's out that we just haven't touched yet because Expedition 33 came out essentially at the same time is South of Midnight, which is also on Game Pass and we need to get to. These are all Game Pass games, most of which are Game Pass. I won't say all Game Pass games, but a lot of the games they showcase here obviously are Game Pass games because Microsoft is going to showcase stuff that they're going to be able to put on Game Pass. And so almost everything we're talking about is stuff that's going to be on Game Pass. And there's a lot of good stuff on there that's different and weird and new and not stuff that we've seen a million times.
Okay,
this is one of those. Like, it really, like, even though, again, I compared it to Metal Gear and Splinter Cell, like, it is this kind of stealth tactical game. This, like, setting of South or of a unified Korea is fascinating to me. Like, that like geopolitical, like, intrigue of that environment is something I'm really interested in. I kind of want to see in a video game. Like, that actually sounds really cool to me. And so,
and
I hope it's good. I really do. I hope they give me a compelling reason to put time into it.
Two things. One reason that I really liked watching the future game show this afternoon, which we will talk about at some point in the next couple of days here. It was a lot the same stuff. It was stuff that I had not really seen a lot of, and a lot of it was weird. These things, and we talked about it on previous years, these years have themes. Some years it's horror, some years it's insert thing here. This year it's weird stuff.
And I'm
okay with that.
Yeah, I am too. I don't hate that. And the one other game that we're going to talk about that I'm really interested in, I don't know if looking forward to is the right word yet because I need to know more about it. But it's one of those that's just super weird, and we'll get to that here in just a little bit. Before then, I'm going to move through a couple quickly. Animo, which is kind of Pokemon-ish. Kind of where I'm at. Solo Leveling? I didn't get this at all. This was important to show that I started to check out a little bit. We did get Planet of Lana 2,
yes,
which I want to play the first game. And then seeing the trailer of this said, oh my goodness, I really need to play the first game because the trailer of this.
I was going to ask if, because you made a big deal out of Planet because you said it has my wife's name in it. So I had to play it. Yeah. Did you ever play it?
I haven't. I actually have it because I believe it was on one of the Humble Bundle choice things. But I haven't actually put any time into it yet. And so this kind of reminded me that I need to actually play that game because there's a new one coming. And before I even knew it was Planet of Lana, I went, that looks like my thing. You know, like, it's that kind of platformer, pretty aesthetic that, like, I love those kind of games. And so, yeah.
Let me just mention one more time.
Yep.
Did I mention earlier in the show that we need hard drives, Stacey? You can send us hard drives. We will literally take hard drives off your hands.
Yeah.
We need hard drives.
For sure. Persona 4 is getting a remake. Persona 4, very, very popular game. I actually have played a little bit of Persona 4 because it came up also, I believe, on a Humble Choice.
Yes.
And so I have it installed and played just a half an hour of it or something. Not nearly as much time as I put into Persona 5, and I have not scratched the surface on Persona 5. But I played enough of it, and now, especially with the benefit of playing Expedition 33, which plays in a very similar way to the Persona games, at least in my feel of how Persona games play. I'm interested, and the trailer was pretty, and like, I know that the Persona games are something we should be into.
Yes.
I know that.
Same with Metaphor, Refund Tokyo.
Yes. Yes.
All of those we need to all be of playing. Those.
Yes.
There's no doubt. There's no question. We have to play them. We just don't have the bandwidth.
Yes. The fact that it's coming to Game Pass, I assume, is a big deal. We'll see what happens there. But super cool that we knew that was coming for a long time. But a cool thing. Fallout 76 is getting an expansion that's a fishing expansion.
Come on. I don't. Who is still playing Fallout 76?
Isn't that a good question? I don't know. They spent way more time like fishing, and I love a good fishing mechanic in a game. Don't get me wrong. Like, I spent way too much time fishing.
Funny.
Yeah.
They spent, like, I don't know if you watched before the show, But it was like 20 minutes of different shots of people fishing.
Yes.
I wonder if that's from 76.
Yes. That's what I kind of put together afterwards, because when I pulled up the show and was going through like the countdown stuff, I'm like, what is this? Like, this is so random. But yeah, I think that's what it was alluding to. But yes, I'm glad you clocked that, because I kind of forgot about that. But yes, I think past that, I don't. I've spent way too much time in Red Dead fishing. I spent way too much time in Stardew Valley fishing. I spent way too much time in basically any game that has fishing doing that.
We both really like to fish.
Yes. Great. Love it. Yeah. But I mean, not a reason for me to get into Fallout 76. So thanks guys for trying, but yeah, no, thank you. At Fate's End is from the developer of Spiritfarer, which is one of those indie games we probably should pick up at some point. Again, like, it's pretty, it's cool aesthetic. I don't know that we'll ever get to it. Would be cool if we did. We got a little bit of Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 and 4, which I'm super pumped about. This is one I will put time into for purely nostalgia reasons. I played a bunch of Tony Hawk, the 1 and 2 remake. I love Tony Hawk.
I should not say this on the air, but I'm going to say it anyway. We're around Tony's age.
Yes.
And I'm so happy that we both look much better than Tony. I mean, like, I get it. Like, the man has fallen off a skateboard more times than we have any concept of. I get it, but I'm like, wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, I agree. Did we talk about I'm pretty sure we talked about this on the show, that Tony Hawk's son married Kurt Cobain's daughter.
You did, yes.
Like, again, this is like the most mind-blowing like 90s factoid that I have. Like that the like Hawk Cobain like marriage happened. It's, yeah, just weird to me. Anyway, I will play a ton of that. They did show off Michelangelo from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, that was cool.
Again, just hitting my nostalgia right in the heart. Just love me some 90s wonderfulness. So I will play it because I'm going to play it. Even if it's good, because for nostalgia reasons. There's an Invincible game coming, which I had a very momentary like, oh, this looks cool. And then it was a fighting game.
First, I was like, ooh. Kirk is going to do it again. Here it comes. I love you, Mr. Cameron. Oh!
Yeah. Yeah.
Look at real. Like, come on, man.
Have you watched the TV show?
No.
Did you read the comic books of Invincible?
I've read like 5 issues of the comic. I want to like it so much. Because look. And we talked about this last show. The Walking Dead is one of the greatest comics ever written, period, and no discussion. And I can say, reading 5 issues of Invincible is really, really good. That guy knows what he's doing, right? So I was so excited when I saw this. You talk about it, about like something that we need to check out. I don't know if you've seen the TV show, but I trust him more than I do The Last of Us at this point. Like, he's good at this stuff. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I'm so disappointed. Here it comes. Oh!
Me too. Because I've read, I haven't ever watched the TV show, but I've read, not all of the comic series, but a pretty significant portion of it when I was kind of in my comics kick several years ago. And it's like you said, it's really good. I really enjoyed it. And once I saw what it was, I had that same reaction of like, oh yeah, this is something that's been missing from video games. It's going to be so cool. Like, cause it's such a different, weird narrative. And then it's a fighting game. And I'm just like, no, that's not what I wanted.
No.
I wanted a good narrative, interesting, like almost Telltale approach. But like, wasn't.
What I wanted was him to do Invincible with Unreal 5.
Yeah, that'd be cool too.
I was hoping it was gonna happen, and then it didn't.
Yeah, yeah.
It's almost like somebody went to him and said, "Do you need more money? Because we could license the Invincible thing and make this game, and like,
yeah,
we'll give you $100 million." And he was like, "Yeah, sure."
Yeah. 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 Not super interested in that one, which is disappointing because I wanted to be. And I still need to go back and watch the TV show because I'm excited about that. So Gears of War Reloaded is...
Okay, here's... It's going to drive you crazy because I sound like such a hypocrite, right? I want you and I to play this.
Yeah.
Because Gears of War is a classic.
Great, I've
played probably 15 hours of the original Gears of War on Game Pass. I'm like halfway through it. I've died 8,000 times. I really want to play this with you because it has us written all over it.
Yes.
But that's the only reason. It's like we were talking about Resident Evil yesterday. Like, I want to play this with you in the same room. Otherwise, I'm not going to touch it.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I really enjoyed playing through Gears of War originally. I played through the first couple of games. I've kind of lost it since then. It's one that I want to get back into because I think it's a fun franchise. And I haven't played a good shooter in a while, and so why not? But this isn't it. We know there's a new Gears of War coming. We didn't see in this. We'll talk about that here in a little bit. Just a couple of games we didn't see because Phil mentions them at the end of the show, which is interesting that he mentioned some games that he didn't show off. This was one of them. We didn't see Gears of War E-Day, which is the next one that hopefully is good, but like, this wasn't that. And you know, a remake is great, whatever, but like, I'm not nostalgic enough about Gears of War to need a remake for it to go in and play that. So Sea of Thieves is getting new content. Woo! Age of Mythology getting some new stuff. Woo! Final Fantasy is coming to Xbox. They showed off Final Fantasy VII Remake Intergrade and Final Fantasy 16 coming to Xbox.
Okay, so in my clicking today, clicking through stuff, Expedition 33 is all over my YouTube at this point. Like,
sure.
Just like scrolling through Summer Game Fest stuff, and there was this video of this guy. And I've only watched 30 seconds of it, but like, apparently he had just seen the Summer Game Fest show and saw that, you know, Square's putting out Final Fantasy, you know, more Final Fantasy. Yeah. And he's like, Expedition 33 just reminds me of what Square should be doing, and they're not. And that's kind of how I feel about this. Like, We played a little bit of 15. We played a little bit of 16. We like, they're all right.
Yeah. I wish I had time. And this is, you know, like, because Final Fantasy has such a nostalgic point to us. We keep coming back to that idea of nostalgia. Final Fantasy VII, we spend time with because it's nostalgic, right? Like, right. That's really the only reason we spent the last year playing through Rebirth, because it's reminiscent of the game. And I don't
regret it for one second.
0%. Love it. Like, yeah, just a fantastic game. I also think that if we put that effort into Final Fantasy 16, we would also probably love it because it is apparently a very good game. But I just don't have the bandwidth for it. And I want to. I really want to, but I just don't have the bandwidth for it. And Expedition 33 scratches that itch, but in a different way. Well, and I'm like, there it is. But I don't blame Square Enix for it. I do blame them for like all the little spin-off stuff, you know, that I don't really have much interest in. But Final Fantasy VII Rebirth is phenomenal. Loved it. Final Fantasy 16 would probably be phenomenal if we actually spent time with it. I just can't. It's the same thing I have with the Persona games that I know they will eat my life, and I don't have time for them to eat my life.
You know what it is? It's and I've talked about it multiple times. was Expedition 33. We're already into Act 2. We've been playing Expedition 33 for a month. Okay. Expedition 33. I don't know how long it's going to take me to finish it. It's going to take me longer than it takes you, because it always takes me longer than it takes you. But we're going to finish that game. And by all accounts, Expedition 33, first playthrough, is about 60 hours. We're not talking about 100 hours. We're not talking about 120. We're not talking about 140. I may go back and put another 60 hours into Expedition 33. But if I do, that's my choice.
Yeah, for sure. Right? I'm with you 100%.
That's what it is.
I think that's the key. It's what used to pass for a long game, but today's long games are so ridiculously long. Final Fantasy VII Rebirth is bloated. I love the game. Love the game. It is bloated. They could have shaved off 40 hours from that game and it'd still be an amazing game, right? It is bloated. Expedition 33 thus far, and we still got a ways to go in it, so I'm saying thus far very carefully here, but thus far doesn't feel bloated. Feels like it has enough extra side content to make it worth your time to go explore some of that stuff, but not like, again, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, I didn't do everything. I did a lot more than I typically do in a game because I love the game so much.
You chased almost everything, and I was like, who is this guy?
Yes, but I got done near the end of chasing everything and said, we got to finish this and move on, which I'm glad I did because I'm playing Expedition 33, which I adore. You know, and so, like, Expedition 33 is going to have a little bit of that for me, but not nearly as much because it just doesn't, at least, again, up until this point, doesn't feel like it quite has the bloat that so many modern games do.
One more thing, and people are going to send me an email after I say this and say you have to do this. Great example of this is the Jeshel Beach with the parkour challenge.
Yeah.
I have not touched that because I know I can't do it. I can't physically do it. And I'm totally okay with not doing it because it's a cosmetic for reward. Yes. And so I'm like, I can totally skip this and not feel guilty.
Which I so appreciate that that's a cosmetic reward because I did put some time into it. I did try to do that. And the platforming in that game is so horrendously bad.
It's horrible.
It's so, like, we've talked so much positive about Expedition 33.
We don't have time, but we just have to talk about this. Guys,
good God.
Guys, I have to bring it up. I've been waiting to bring it up. And I thought you were going to tell me I was crazy.
No.
Guys, I love you so much. You did a fabulous job. We love this game, but for crying out loud, for the love of Pete, it is a turn-based with a grappling hook.
Yes.
Do not tell me that I can use the grappling hook 80% of the time and then get to one area with a freaking paint cage and tell me that I've got to jump to get over to it. Are you kidding me? I have a free grappling hook. It's ridiculous. I can't stand it. Somebody fix it.
Thank you. I appreciate that rant so much. The platforming is so bad in the game. It's so
that how you feel. Please tell me that's how you feel.
100%. It's so horribly bad. And it's just the fact that they have like a whole little place that is all about platforming just kills me. Because I did. I was like, I'm gonna do it because I can, because I'm a man and I can do platforming. And I didn't like spent 20 minutes with it. I said, screw that. I'm done. Okay. I am never coming back to Jestral Beach and just forget it forever. It's like a swimsuit. I don't care. Nobody's going swimming in this game. Like, what are we talking about?
Okay, so I have to bring this up because they mentioned this on the Angry Joe review. That they loved the cosmetics and all the swimsuits and jiggly boots and the, oh, like people are dying from crying out loud. Gustav got stabbed. I mean, for crying out. What the? What are you talking about?
Spoiler alert, right there. Retroactively at this point, but you're spot on. Like, I just couldn't care less about. Like, I will not lie. Whenever there is a cosmetic item at like a shop, because I just
am
flush with chroma, I'm like, sure, why not? And I'm like, I'll go change a hairstyle here and there, like whatever. But like, I am not going to spend a whole lot of time trying to get like across this stupid platforming mechanic to get a swimsuit. Like, just not.
Look, I gotta be. You'll laugh at this. There is one of these in every single level, whether you're dealing with the white Nevrons or whatever.
Yep.
There's one in every single level with a special thing. Both of the guys who work for me, both Peyton that's out there right now wondering what I'm screaming about, laughing at me, listening to me as we do this, and Cody, the weekend guy, at some point in the last 2 weeks, I've gone out to both of them, and I said, would you please come do this?
Yeah.
Because it's a color of blue. It's a color of Lumino or something
right.
that I need, and yep. I'm not leaving it. And I've had those guys do it, and I don't feel guilty because I paid them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but it's so bad.
It's so bad.
Guys, I mean, for crying out loud, I would not be ranting like this, but you gave us a grappling hook. Are you kidding me?
I love it. That's great. All that said, we got two more games really quickly to mention here. One of which is one of those games that hooks me from the moment I see the logo we teased before, which is a Double Fine game. Double Fine showed up with Keeper, which is the weirdest looking game I think I can remember seeing in recent memory. You play a lighthouse that like fell down and then grew legs and is like walking around that don't get it remotely.
Okay.
But it's Double Fine, and Double Fine does stupid weird stuff that actually is cool and that looks kind of cool.
I'm just going to say this. I should not say this on the air. If there's any kids listening, turn it off now, because I'm about to say something I should not say. But we will totally understand these more when you come to my house and we have some gummies.
Fair.
That's all I'm gonna say. I've got gummies, and after you have a gummy, everything will make sense.
And whoever developed this game was on something harder than that, because man, it's weird.
Yeah,
but again, it's Double Fine, which I'm into, first of all, and it kind of looks interesting. So that one I'm really looking forward to. They ended the show with Call of Duty, which not a big surprise because they have Activision now and it is what it is. But Call of Duty Black Ops 7, we played a little bit of the most recent, Modern Warfare.
It's good. I like it.
Yeah, it was fine. Good, solid campaign that I played about a third of and don't have any need to get back to. that's where we are.
Like, here's what happened. I played a third and I was like, that's really great. And then I went, oh crap, I need hard drive space.
Yep. Yes. But that's 100% true. That cracks me up. So in between there, we got Phil to come out and talk for a little bit. And what was interesting about what Phil said was some of the games we didn't see. And so I just want to bring this up really quickly. He did talk about, you know, like the idea of Xbox Play Anywhere and how like bringing whatever games to you, wherever you, all that kind of stuff. We didn't see Fable. We didn't see new Gears of War, which we already alluded to, E-Day. And then he teased, without saying it, but we all kind of know what he was saying. So we're getting new Halo, and we didn't see what that is. The reports are is that new Halo is going to be a remaster or a remake of the original Halo, which a remaster I care a little bit less about. Like a full like overhaul remake of the original Halo, I could actually get behind because there's nostalgia there.
Yeah,
I
but love let me, the original let me ask Halo. You this. If it were a remake, what would you change about the original Halo?
I think it's just it's a good question. I think it's just fleshing it out more, right? That you could just put more depth into it with modern kind of technology and deeper narrative and that kind of stuff. I would love to revisit it personally because I haven't played that game in 20 years. You know, dude, like that's kind
of I played it a year ago and Halo's still fabulous.
Yeah.
I
believe it.
I didn't beat it, but that's my only argument is that does it really need it? Because it's still Halo.
Right.
Like that's one of the things that is perpetually downloaded from Game Pass is the Master Chief Collection. And they're great.
Yeah.
Like do they really need, like I get it. Do they really need this? Because they're still great.
Yeah. I hear what you're saying. I played a chunk of Halo Infinite and it was fine. But because of the nostalgia aspect, I would play a lot more of a true remake of the original Halo, a remaster that just kind of puts it in the skin of Halo Infinite.
So I think, all I can think of in my head is Halo on like Unreal 5.
Right. Like, yeah, if you give us that kind of experience, like it doesn't necessarily have to be Unreal 5, but something that's comparable to that, I think I could really get into that. But again, we didn't see it, and so I don't even know what they're doing. So we're just speculating.
The reason you didn't see it is because they don't know either. Like right. they don't have anything to show, or they would have.
Yeah, and that's kind of the trick, and so we'll see. We also didn't see Perfect Dark, which I was kind of wanting to see.
This was the year you kind of needed to see it.
Like, yeah, that's the one thing.
That's what should have ended the show.
Yes, yeah, that's the thing. Because what have we seen so far between this and Summer Game Fest, which are the two kind of marquee events, because like what are we future game show is fantastic, PC game show is fantastic, we love those shows, but those aren't about these like AAA titles. That's right. Not what those shows do. The AAA titles were going to show up at Summer Game Fest and at here, and Resident Evil 9 is a big deal, but we didn't see much of it. And this Call of Duty is how they ended it, and we didn't really get a big AAA game outside of that. Like there was just something missing from either of these shows we've talked about so far in that kind of like mind blowing.
Well,
this is what we've been waiting
for. Let me just say this. And we've had two shows where Expedition 33 made it into the show where we didn't necessarily want it to be in the show because that's not what this week's about. But the reason that something is kind of lacking kind of everywhere, because I would venture to say, even though the Future Game Show did a better job and the PC Game Show, which I'm actually dreading because it's like 2 hours and 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And like, I love Sean. I really do. But for crying out loud, man. Anyway, what they're all missing is, okay, we have this juggernaut, this Expedition 33. What can we do that like is on this level? And they don't have it because it came out of nowhere. Like, it came out of nowhere. And everybody's clamoring. Like, loves the thing. I don't know anybody that doesn't love it.
Yeah.
And so all the AAA guys are going, okay, how do we do that?
Right. And game development takes a long time. Like the games that we're seeing right now have been in development for years and years. And that's something to take into account here that we are in this kind of weird, like, traditional cycle would be like we're getting close to new hardware. In the cycle we're in now, who the crap knows what we're about to get? Like, if like, is Microsoft going to do a new like hardware thing? They say they are, but like, I don't know. Like, I could definitely see Sony doing it, but they're not announcing that anytime soon.
Look, here's the thing, and we're talking about the Microsoft show, so I'm just gonna go back to xCloud for a second. Microsoft has the ability with this platform thing that they're doing, because part of what I've been thinking all day is you and I need to come up with the money for 50 series. Like, Clockwork, we've got these other games that look spectacular. We've gotta come up with the money for 50 series. But I don't want to pay $3,000. You don't want to pay $3,000. How are we going to get around this? The answer is xCloud. Okay? Like, it's not hardware. It's can we stream this stuff and be able to play them? Because you and I are already at the point with these brand new rigs that we've got. We really need a 50 series card. Yeah. We do. And we're too cheap. We're not going to do it. But xCloud fixes that.
Yep. And I mean, we've been talking about it for years and years and years, but we're to the point that that's becoming a practical way to play games and is going to just become more and more important, with especially some of the technology that makes rendering much better and thus can translate that rendering over cloud services in a much higher res way. We're still not quite there. And I've played a little bit of Expedition 33 on Xbox Cloud. And the thing that really suffers is timing. It is hard to do the timing. It's the same thing of playing like MLB The Show on Xbox Cloud, which I've played a chunk of on Xbox Cloud. Like, timing is hard when you have just the slightest bit of latency. And I have a gigabit connection that has very low latency, but you're still dependent on whatever that server you're getting that information from is. And that makes it challenging, but it's getting better every single day. And it's where we're going. Like, it's not that far in the future that we're not going to be buying games at all, because everything is just going to be instant access.
And that's what I was thinking about today, was like, you and I just got these computers. Like, we haven't had these computers that long.
Yep.
And it's absurd that we need a 50 series. But what hit me was last night when I booted up Death Stranding and saw what it looked like with more cards than I needed. And I was like, yeah, this is how we need to be playing all of these games. This is why we need a 5090 piece, which, by the way, if you want to send us a couple of those, we'll take those too.
100%.
GamingUncensored@gmail.com, please. But like, that's when I got the feeling, was like, the game's running at 144 frames a second. It looks stunning. There's no DLSS. There's no weirdness. There's no, it's just there. Like, that's the way you're supposed to play everything.
Yeah.
I feel as a kid that grew up the way we did, which, you know what I'm talking about. We've talked about it forever on the show. As a kid that grew up the way we did, our brains like have a spasm every time we think about buying a new video card, because we've only had the ones that we got for like 2 years.
Yep.
But my gamer brain says we need this.
Yep.
And the only fix for that is xCloud.
Yeah, I think you're right. So all that said, we need to wrap. We've got more to talk about. We'll get into a future game show. We'll get into a PC game show. We'll get into some of the other stuff. Devolver did their thing.
I can't find it. Where it? Because I found pieces of it.
Yeah.
But I can't find the full show.
I haven't seen the full show. I'm looking at the Summer Game Fest channel right now, and it's Ball X Pit, the Kenny Sun story.
That's one of the games. I found that trailer, but I cannot find the full show.
But that apparently is the thing. I don't know. We'll figure it out. But we've got lots to talk about still. We anticipate Nintendo will probably do something. I mean, the Switch 2 just came out, and so we will talk about that eventually, because sooner rather than later, we will have a Switch 2 to talk about, and so we will get to that. And Sony is going to do something again, at least in July, I believe, is when they've kind of said they're going to do something else. So we've got more to talk about, but we will definitely be doing Future Game Show and PC Game Show, and so we've got lots more to talk about as far as E4 goes. But it's a whole summer of gaming. We love summer of gaming.
Yes, it's fantastic. It's wonderful. We've got women in gaming. A women-led direct of all the different studios that are women-led.
We've got Wholesome Game Show is back, and so we got to do that one.
We got Black Voices. I saw that.
Yes.
There's lots of stuff to see out there. I think last year, I don't know if it's back, but similarly, I believe there was a Latin or a Latino led studios direct. So there's lots to see.
Catch up on that. Yes, for sure. There's one even from Australia, the Frosty Game Fest, featuring games made in Australia. And this is my ignorance coming through here. I have no idea what this is. Aotearoa?
I have no idea.
So I need to be educated on this.
We're two white guys, and we just showed it off right there.
No clue what that means, but I'm interested.
Yeah.
So we will be catching up on all this stuff, and we'll be talking about it over the next days and weeks as we get caught up on all this stuff, because it is a ton of content. But great. We love it. This is the best time of year still. Even if it's not E3, it's still the best time
of year. Yes, it is fabulous. I'm having a blast. That's why I've been debating all day. What do I watch? Because today was my free day, and like tomorrow I got stuff, and I'm like, I'm gonna try and figure out how to squeeze it in with all of my stuff and playoff hockey, which, holy crap, Stanley Cup finals, unbelievable so far. I know hockey's not really your thing, but man. That is some good hockey going on right now. If you get a chance, you should check it out, because it's freaking art. But a lot of stuff going on. We'll get to everything you just talked about. For now, we got to go, because he's got a baby in the other room.
Yeah. He hasn't made any noise yet, so knock on wood, we'll be okay.
If you would like to participate with us, we already told you, but I'm going to say it again. Got to go to the Discord. Lots of stuff going on over there. You can give us a call on the voicemail line at
509-GAME-210.
You can also check out the Patreon, because we will take your money.
For sure. 100%.
We will definitely take your money. Other than that, is there anything else, sir?
I think we're good.
You are listening to The Idiots Explaining Entertainment, and it's an extravaganza. It's E4, and it's only on GamingUpSister.com, and we are out. Is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.